There are two texts for this morning. One is the story of Samuel and Eli that we read last week, and the other is from the minor prophet Joel, the second chapter, verses 21 through 28. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Holy One has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in your God, for God has given the early rain for your vindication. The Holy One has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Holy One, am your God, and there is no other, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your children shall prophesy, your old ones shall dream dreams, and your young ones shall see visions. The word of God for the people of God.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sorrowed soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sorrowed soul. Don't ever feel discouraged, for Jesus is your friend, who if you ask for knowledge will never fail to land. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sorrowed soul. If you can't preach like Peter, and you can't pray like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus, who gave love to all. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sorrowed soul. To heal the sorrowed soul.
Hear hear this affirmation of faith based on the writings of Dr. King. I refuse to believe that we are unable to influence the events which surround us. I refuse to believe that we are so bound to racism and war that peace and personhood are not possible. I believe there is an urgent need for people to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to violence and oppression. I believe that we need to discover a way to live together in peace, a way which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of this way is love. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. I believe that right, even temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumphant. I believe that peoples everywhere can have 3 meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. I believe that what self-centered people have torn down, other-centered people can build up. By the goodness of God at work within people, I believe that brokenness can be healed. Hear God's promise of the dream fulfilled. The lion and lamb shall lie down together, and every one will sit under their own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So wrote our ancestors in the King James Version of the book of Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What do you think? Is it so? This has been conventional wisdom for centuries, perhaps for millennia. The ancient wisdom argues that we need a vision to draw us fully into life and the living of it. We need a dream to call us into the possibilities God holds for us. In South Pacific, Bloody Mary sings to the hapless young Lieutenant Cable, who has barely mustered the courage to live beyond cultural difference and act on his attraction to her beautiful daughter, Liat. You gotta have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you gonna have a dream come true? You gotta have a dream. What do you think? Is a dream really necessary to living life to its fullest? It certainly is gospel according to Oscar Hammerstein, which, by the way, was not universally popular in 1949 when the musical first appeared. Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, all people are created equal. I have a dream that my 4 little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white girls and white boys as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. If Martin Luther King Jr. had not had a dream for which he was willing to lay down his life, the world in which we live would be very different today. What do you think? If King had not had a vision Would the world in which we live, as bad as it is, be a little more unjust, a little more violent, a little more hopeless than it already is? Many of us hold to King's vision as a glimpse of the reign of God on earth. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Remember last week's text and reflection? Poor old Eli, nearing the end of his days. As the high priest, he had held sway over the Hebrew people, the children of Israel. In effect, he led the people from the early temple at Shiloh, but he'd grown old and tired. His vision was failing, perhaps also his hearing, and it was harder for him to get up and down. He no longer slept on the temple floor before the altar of God beside the holy flame. He left that task to his young apprentice, Samuel. His own boys were no good. He knew that. They flaunted the temple rules and kept the best meat from the sacrifices for themselves. But he felt he no longer had the strength to discipline them or even call them to task. He was just hanging on. As a result, the text says the word of the Holy One was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. Times were tough. Does that sound familiar at all? Eli went to bed early and he fell into a fitful sleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, the boy Samuel came to him, rushing in with an awful racket. "Here I am, for you called me." "No, I didn't, boy. You're imagining things. Go back to sleep and let me get some rest too." Three times the boy had come careening in, breathlessly disturbing his fragile rest before it dawned on him. You see, whatever his limitations, he was not too old to remember those days when the word of God had sounded in this place and indeed in his own soul. He was not too decrepit to lose sight of a vision when it occurred. The aged wisdom stirred in him. "Go lie down, boy. If the voice calls again, say, 'Speak, Holy One, for your servant is listening.'" You see, it was not too late for old men to dream dreams, nor for young ones to see visions. And lo, God did call again and said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle." Something wonderful was afoot, and God wanted Samuel to be first to catch the vision. What do you think? Is it possible God is calling people by name, your name and mine? Could it be that God has a word for us? Might God still have a vision to plant in us that needs to be tended and fulfilled? Something that would cause hearts to swell, eyes to widen, and ears to tingle. It's possible that more of us identify with Eli than with Samuel in this story. We feel old and tired and believe our days of dreaming are long gone. But the prophet Joel insists that old ones can still dream dreams along with the young. And the writer of 1 Samuel shows us how necessary Eli's visionary wisdom is in order for Samuel to have his own life-changing experience of the Holy. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Of course, individuals perish. Each of us will die in their time. But the people, the beloved community, the body of Christ goes on, born on a dream of justice, righteousness, peace, and love, carried by a vision of the end-breaking reign of God on earth. That's what it means for us to be people of God, the body of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. We are called to dream dreams. We are summoned to carry visions. We are hailed to live out the gospel, which in itself is a sacred dream, a holy vision of the realm of God. The text tells us that it doesn't matter how old or young we are, God has a place for us and work for us to do. I have a favorite hymn that sings, "God, you have made us of stardust and spirit, etching your image on every cell. We are your love song, your poem and rhythm, all co-creators your story to tell." The psalmist sings of God's creative reach, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You and me, fearfully and wonderfully made of stardust and spirit, the image of God etched in our every fiber. Though Eli was old and weary as God's holy creation, God's child, God's appointed priest, he still had dreams to dream and wisdom to share. He still had a way to walk and one who needed his guidance to find his own way on that same journey. Could it be that God still has dreams for us to dream and work for us to do? The prophet Joel writes to a people who were returning from exile. Maybe this COVID is like an exile. People returning from exile who are trying to rebuild their city along with the life of their community. It was not the greatest of times. There had apparently been crop-destroying invasions of locusts. It must have been hard to dream dreams, to hold the vision. Yet the prophet proclaims in faith, "Do not fear, O soil, be glad and rejoice, for the Holy One has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine give their full yield." Surely this is a great vision of what God is doing among them. "O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in your God. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I, the Holy One, am your God, and there is no other." How will you know? "Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your children shall prophesy, your old ones shall dream dreams, and your young ones shall see visions." South Pacific is a courageously visionary musical about people dreaming of a day when racism and cultural prejudice will be no more. Bloody Mary encourages the young lieutenant to follow his heart rather than cultural expectations. You got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you going to have a dream come true? But eventually, the lieutenant turns his back on Liat believing his family would never accept a Polynesian bride. When questioned about his racist decision, he declares with some bitterness, "You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught." Martin Luther King Jr. dreamed a dream and articulated it brilliantly and movingly. You know, legend says that King threw out his prepared speech and delivered the "I Have a Dream" speech that day in Washington on the urging of the great gospel singer Mahalia Jackson, who leaned over to him on the platform that hot summer day and said, "Tell them about the dream, Martin." King was the prophetic voice to proclaim the dream, but the truth is that he was speaking for all those who had gone before him, dreaming that same dream and giving their lives to that sacred vision. And that afternoon, he also proclaimed a dream for many who were to follow, giving their lives, giving our lives to making that vision a reality. King went on further to describe the fulfillment of the dream. He wrote that the end is reconciliation, the end is redemption, the end is the creation of the beloved community. It is this type of spirit and this type of love, he claimed, that can transform oppressors into friends. It is this type of understanding, goodwill, that will transform the deep gloom of the old age into the exuberant gladness of the new age. It is this love which will bring about miracles in the hearts of men and women. I believe that we are still called to dream, you and me, that we are summoned to live out our individual existence and our life as a congregation, as part of the beloved community that King envisioned. That we live in a time when God is about to do things that will make ears tingle, minds blow, and hearts sing. On this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, in these difficult and troubled times, Bruce Epperly encourages, "Let us still dream big. Let us have a large and generous personal, let us have large and generous personal and national dreams, taking us beyond the known world to uncharted frontiers. Let us have big dreams for our churches, that they be beacons of healing and justice and transformation. Let us have big dreams for our nation, that we walk hand in hand, that our diversity be a thing of beauty, that we imagine leading the world by justice and not violence, that we build great things and inspire wonder and adventure. Let us dream of becoming a truly beloved community of sisters and brothers, siblings all united by common dreams." What do you think? Is it possible? Can you see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, live it? Whatever our state, whatever our resources, whatever our age, whatever our experience, whatever our wisdom, God is creating. Christ is calling. The Spirit is moving still. In the darkness of the night, we sleep before the lamp of God, and there in that blessed light, we are called to dream. Will we respond like Samuel of old? Speak, for your servant is listening. It's never too late. Now is our time. Amen.